Hi, this is Bernie Wides, the Naturalist, back on the air. This week we're going to talk about the Earth in honor of Earth Day, which was a couple of weeks ago. I think it was the 20-something of April. But I just put this show together and we're going to talk about the Earth. And the first thing we're going to do is interview two young ladies that live in Brooklyn to talk about their experience with Earth Day in school. So we're going to try this experiment using a tape recorder, a tape machine that I used, and hopefully we can get it on. So, Nat, if you could try to play that, that would be good.
Okay, now I'm going to talk to another young lady, and her name is?
Alexa.
Alexa.
David Lang.
And where do you live, Alexa?
I live in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm six.
Okay, and what school do you go to?
PS 321.
What class are you in?
K-108.
Okay, this what the K stands for, kindergarten class?
Yeah.
So this is your first year in that school?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of it?
It's good.
It's good? Good. Okay, did your teacher talk at all about Earth Day in school?
We just had like a regular day. We did regular things and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And did you do anything special for Earth Day?
Me? Well, not much.
Uh-huh. Did you mention to me before that you did some kind of a painting or something?
Well, I did do painting because I went to after school that day.
Yes.
And I painted a picture.
And the picture was of?
A flower vase.
A flower vase. So that was that special for Earth Day or just you were doing paintings?
I was doing paintings.
Okay, so can you tell me something about the Earth that you know?
Well, about the Earth, I know that there, in the Earth, if you go into outer space, in the Earth there is a big solar system, and the Earth is blue and green if you look at it from outer space.
Mm-hmm. What makes it blue?
The water.
Okay, so is there a lot of water on the Earth?
Yeah.
There really is a lot
of
water.
So people can go swimming.
Yeah, right, and we drink water, right? So we really need the water. And what makes it green?
The grass and the fields.
Mm-hmm. So you think that the Earth is a good place to live in?
Mm-hmm.
How, do you think we could live somewhere else? On a different planet?
If we wanted to, then we could.
Mm-hmm. Well, how would we get there?
By a rocket ship.
Right, we'd have to take a rocket ship. What about the moon? Could we live on the moon? What do you think?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't want to live on the moon.
Why is that?
Because I like this place better.
Okay, so you're happy with the Earth. Okay, so you think people should take care of the Earth? And so it stays a beautiful place?
Yeah.
So what do you think we could do to help that?
We could throw out our trash, and we could, when we draw on paper and we do a mess up, we don't just throw it away and pick out a new piece of paper.
I see. So we don't waste anything. Is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm.
We use things over and over again?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay, so is there anything else you'd like to tell everybody who's going to be listening to this show?
Well, not much.
Not much? Okay, so you just think we should take care of the Earth, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you a lot. And I'm going to sign us off now. Okay, and I'll start off. I'll say, hi, I'm Bernie Wides, and I'm the Naturalist. And today, on my program, I'm going to interview a young lady, Zoe David Lang. And how old are you, Zoe?
Eight.
Almost nine.
Speak up nice and loud like that.
Okay,
and we're going to talk about Earth Day. Even though Earth Day was a few weeks ago, this is the first chance that I got to talk to Zoe, because I haven't seen her in a long time. So I'm going to ask her about Earth Day, and if your school celebrated Earth Day, or anything you want to talk about it. Okay, so let's start right now. Okay. So Zoe, did you say hi?
Hi.
All right. So what school do you go to?
I go to PS 3
in Brooklyn. Okay. And did your teacher talk about Earth Day much?
Not really. Well, not really.
Not really. Okay, but you knew about it.
Yeah, I know about Earth Day.
Where did you hear about it? Do you know?
My parents.
Okay. With your parents, right?
Over the years.
Over the years. Okay. And how old are you?
Eight. You just
Eight.
Asked me.
Oh, I did. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad you reminded me of that. Okay, so why do you think we have a celebration of Earth Day?
Well, in honor of the Earth, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a day for people to think about both the Earth and about doing good things for the Earth and maybe even doing them.
Mm-hmm.
Or doing them sometime soon if they can't do it now.
Okay, so what did you do in your school for Earth?
Me? Oh, well, the whole school, not really preschool, but kindergarten to fifth grade. What we did is we had like a walk in the park, not all around the Prospect Park, and we raised money for three places. I think one in Red Hook in Brooklyn for like farms or children or something.
Mm-hmm.
One for Haiti, and another for a company for the rainforest, because the rainforest is getting cut down and we really need the rainforest. It's really important.
Why do we need the rainforest?
Because they have a bunch of trees, because mm-hmm. it's a forest. And trees give us, they breathe out oxygen, breathe in carbon dioxide, and we do the opposite, so we need trees, and trees are in the rainforest. Also, animals. It's sad for the animals just to see them disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So
you mean they need the rainforest?
Yeah, they need the rainforest to live, because if there's one tree and a bunch of animals live in it, because they're really tall, and they go to another, that tree only has enough for the animals that live on it. So some animals are going to die and get extinct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's good. So you know how important the rainforest
mm-hmm.
is. All right, have you ever been in a rainforest?
No, but I'm studying it.
You are studying it in school?
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have any rainforests around here?
I think we might have one in California. I'm not quite sure.
Well.
No, that's a desert. Never mind.
Okay.
No. We're only learning about popular rainforests, and I don't think there's a popular rainforest nearby.
No.
There might be, but.
Okay, so that's good. So, is there anything else you'd like to tell me about the Earth?
About the Earth?
Yeah. Do we live on the Earth?
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes,
yeah.
We live on the Earth.
Okay.
I like this planet.
You do.
Good planet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you cut down trees, it's polluting the air, and if there gets enough pollution, I think we can't live on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure, but...
You think we could go somewhere else to live?
I don't think so.
If we can't live on the Earth?
Maybe. I don't know. Do you think so?
Well, there's a slight possibility maybe we could live on another planet. But
we may not have enough spaceships to get there.
That's true. So we'd have to get numbers, right?
What do you mean?
Like, give out your number. You're number 3 and number 4 to get on the spaceship to go. So that would take a long time and it would be
mm-hmm.
difficult, right? So as far as we know, Earth is our home planet, right? So that's why we really have to take care of it.
Oh, and another thing about the rainforest,
yes.
if they're cutting it down, people live in the rainforest. It's their home, just like Brooklyn's my home,
mm-hmm.
and Manhattan's your home.
Mm-hmm.
If it's like, and they're forcing people to leave the rainforest and do it, and also, people who are cutting down the rainforest are just doing it for a living, to get money, but they should realize, oh, this is not helping, this is polluting the earth, this is doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman from, it's called Action Network for the Rainforest, she came into our classroom next door when we came in, and she talked, and she told us a lot of things about the rainforest.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying that they forced people out and helped them do it. And they're trying to, and they cut it down to make, and they put cows and they feed cows. And when they're all fat, then they kill them and they use it for hamburgers for like fast food restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
They also use it for, like, you know, like those sweet, like, can't, like, cereals. They use it for that. They use, like, they put wheat there and do it.
Oh, they grow the wheat there for the cereals?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like cereals.
Okay, so that what really that lady told you about
uh-huh.
all this? She came to your school to talk?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, is there anything you would like to say that about the birthday or the Earth or anything else?
Well,
like that?
I think Earth Day is a very good, even though it's not that big of a tradition. Well, it might be a big tradition, but it's not like a big holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not exactly a holiday, but it's very good. It's like a very useful day and makes people think, to think about, like, oh, I love the Earth and, you know, things like that.
Okay, that's very good. Thank you for this interview. And we're going to sign off now. And
hi, this is Bernie Wides back on the air after those lovely interviews by those two young ladies. They are sort of relatives, and it was fun talking to them. And that was an introduction to the show on the Earth, and that was a little bit about Earth Day. So we've heard a lot about Earth Day, but we're going to talk a lot about the Earth itself. And I'll do a little bit about the history of the Earth and why the Earth is habitable and all that kind of stuff. So the first thing I'm going to do is talk about how did the Earth form? Well, the Sun and its family of planets formed when a cloud of dust and gas condensed 4.6 billion years ago. So here we're talking about billions of years. That was a very long time ago. Several hundred million years after the Earth took form, an outer crust developed. But these surface rocks, are no longer available for study if we wanted to find out what it was like then. They have disappeared into the interior of our dynamic planet. The Earth is dynamic because it's always changing. That's why we call it a dynamic planet. And the crust of the Earth that formed originally disappeared. And it really didn't disappear. What happened was that a giant meteorite hit the Earth. The meteorite was maybe the size of the moon, and it made the Earth's surface molten, and that caused a process called differentiation, which I'm going to talk about, and that tells us what the Earth is made of inside. So we're going to jump down to what is the Earth made of. The great bulk of our planet is composed of oxygen, silicon, and magnesium. Since the Earth formed relatively close to the Sun by the aggregation of smaller solid bodies, it is, I have my notes here, a rocky solid planet whose atmosphere formed later. The more remote giant gas planets from Jupiter to Neptune formed predominantly from the lighter, more volatile elements like hydrogen and helium. So the Earth formed originally when the solar system formed. The Sun formed first, and what happened was there was all this stuff in this nebula, which is a cloud of dust and gases condensed, forming the Sun. And after the Sun was formed, there was leftover stuff from the formation of the Sun. So the Earth was formed that way from all this leftover material and the other planets also. And the gas giant planets, which are much larger than the Earth, and are the outer edges of our solar system, formed from all the leftover light materials. That's why we call them the gas giants, because they're made of hydrogen and helium. So as the Earth started to grow about 4.56 billion years ago, the heavy iron sank to the center, and the lighter silicates, that's a kind of rock, rose to the surface. heat generated from the impact of other bodies kept the Earth molten. Just as I said before, there was this huge impact. In fact, the planet's entire outer layer may have been liquid. And when we say liquid, we mean melted materials or molten. And we got that from studying the moon, because the rocks of the lunar highlands are believed to have been solidified from a similar ocean of molten rock or magma. Unlike the Earth, the moon is geologically inactive. Thus, the cold, solid crust of this magma ocean still exists. So when we look at the moon, or when we sent those guys up to the moon, it looked like it was a giant field of a volcano, because the magmas solidified, because the moon was very active volcanically years ago and was hit by a lot of impact craters from other objects in space. And since the moon is really a dead body, that means it's not dynamic, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Everything is just as it is now as when the moon formed. Okay, so I'm going to talk about the differentiated Earth now, and Nat the engineer is trying to put some pictures up on the photo gallery about the differentiated Earth. So the differentiation or organization of the Earth into layers is perhaps the most significant event in its history. It led to the formulation of a core, a solid core, and a liquid core, a mantle, and a crust. So those are the major parts of the Earth. If you took the Earth and cut it in half with a big knife, if that was possible, you would see the Earth is differentiated that way. So what happened was, as I said at the beginning, the heavier elements settled to the center of the Earth. This is all when it was molten. And the lighter elements are closer to the surface. So we have three basic parts that I'm going to talk about. The crust of the Earth is what we live on. If you picture a loaf of bread, and the loaf of bread has a crust, that's about relatively what our crust is like. It's a very thin layer at the surface that we live on and that the continents are on. And the rest of the Earth, we haven't been able to really reach. The crust of the Earth may be anywhere from 18 to 20 feet thick, miles. And we haven't been able to drill down that far to get below the crust of the Earth to the mantle, or even further down to the core of the Earth. But maybe someday we'll be able to do it. And right now we can't. And I'm going to sign off now, leaving you with just the crust of the Earth. And when I come back, we're going to talk about the oceans, the atmosphere, the mantle, and the core of the Earth. So this is Bernie Wides, the Naturalist, signing off. And our sponsor today is Hearst Farms, and we'll be back in a minute. Okay, this is Bernie Wides back on the air, and for our last segment today, I'm going to talk about the differentiation of the Earth, which is probably the most important thing that happened to the Earth after it was formed. So that we said the crust of the Earth is a very thin layer of igneous rock. That means that's rock that's mainly quartz and feldspar, and it was formed when the surface was molten. It cooled off and solidified, forming the thin crust that we live on now. Then there's the oceans. As the Earth's surface cooled below 100 degrees centigrade, water rained out of the atmosphere to form the ocean. When this happened is unknown, but evidence from ancient rocks suggests that it was long before 4 billion years ago. And what about the atmosphere? The first atmosphere probably formed by the continuous release of gases from the Earth's molten interior soon after it coalesced, which means became solid. But that early atmosphere was very different from the present one, which is composed of nitrogen and oxygen. That's our present atmosphere. From the composition of modern volcanic gases, most scientists conclude that the early Earth's atmosphere consisted of water vapor, carbon dioxide, sulfurous gases, and nitrogen. And you know, we just had that incident with the volcano from Iceland spewing ash into the air, into the atmosphere. So you can see that volcanoes had a very powerful effect on the formation of the Earth and what the Earth looks like, and to help changes in the Earth. So that ash are minerals, and while it was a pollutant in the air and prevents planes from flying, it's very valuable for growing crops because it's bringing fresh minerals to the surface. So we're going to talk now of the Earth as a special place. Okay, of all the objects in our solar system, only Earth can support life as we know it. It is the right size, the right distance from the sun. The temperature range is such that its free water is present and available for life. And the Earth's climate has been stable for billions of years, a factor in allowing life to emerge, flourish, and evolve. How life began, how it evolved, and how it affected the evolution of the planet itself are among the great scientific questions of our time. So let's just stop here for a second and talk about that. The Earth being the right size. Now, if the Earth was much bigger, it would have much more gravity, and life on Earth would look something different than it does today. If it was smaller than the Earth is now, there wouldn't be enough gravity to keep the atmosphere of the Earth in place. So the atmosphere of the Earth would just drift away. So that's why we say that the Earth is just the right size for that. The right distance from the sun, because temperature-wise, the Earth never really gets too hot to support life or too cold. Well, we do have a lot of cold at the poles and a lot of heat in the deserts. Life can exist in that range. Of course, we have no trouble with that now with protective clothing and air conditioning and cooling. But years ago, the Earth was much hotter because of it was still cooling down from its original origin. And now we think that because of greenhouse gases, the Earth is heating up again. But we'll get into that in a minute or two. And how did life begin? We don't really know. One of the simplest definitions of a life form is anything with the capacity to reproduce and to regulate itself. Before life began, the complex organic or hydrocarbon-bearing molecules that make up RNA and DNA, the building blocks of life, must have been formed. So somehow those molecules were formed that we needed to as a precursor to life. No one knows exactly how, but there are many ideas put forward. I won't go into that today. That's a whole topic for another program. But the first age of life on Earth was the age of microbes. Geochemical evidence in the form of traces of organic carbon in rocks suggests that life existed nearly 3.9 billion years ago. From 3.9 to about 1.2 billion years ago, life was confined to microbes, or single-celled organisms. During this time, the microbes prospered, gradually altering their surroundings. The conditions they created made the environment hospitable for the emergence of more complex life forms beginning about 1.2 billion years ago. So what this thing means is that the first organisms on Earth were very simple, one-celled critters, like bacteria and other critters. And because some of them learned how to do photosynthesis, they actually changed Earth so that more complex life forms could evolve and eventually move out of the sea, because as scientists theorize, all early life was in the seas because it was too dangerous on the surface because of all this nasty stuff coming from the sun before we had a good protective atmosphere with a lot of oxygen and ozone in it. So that's what we mean by saying that the organisms changed the environment. And these early bacteria were called stromatolites, and they produced oxygen. And another show, we'll talk more about those critters. But today, we'll just mention them. Okay, so why is the Earth habitable, besides what I said before about the right distance and size from the sun? Driven by heat from molten rock, the entire Earth circulates, the entire ocean circulates around the Earth, and smoothing out the temperature differences. So the oceans are a great moderating influence on the Earth. So that's how the oceans are important, besides we get food from them. Okay? So we'll talk about more reasons why the Earth supports life. And then as far as we know, this is the only place in our solar system and maybe in the whole universe that supports life. We really don't know. But life needs energy, and the Earth has two sources, the heat of the sun and the Earth's own internal heat. The amount of energy received from the sun is determined by the sun's brightness and the Earth's distance from the sun. So we're just right for life as we know it. The internal heat of the Earth comes mainly from the decay of radioactive elements, like uranium. So there's still a lot of residual Earth heat in the Earth from when it was first formed. The core of the Earth is even hotter than the surface of the sun. But that heat energy only partially gets up to the crust where we live. So only a portion of the sun's radiation reaches the surface of the Earth also. Charged particles and radiation harmful to life are deflected by the magnetic field and absorbed by the atmosphere. So another reason that life is habitable is because we have this magnetic field around the Earth. The Earth is like a giant magnet with a magnetic field around it. As a kid, if you ever took iron filings and sprinkled them on a piece of paper on a magnet, you saw the magnetic field. So the Earth acts as a giant magnet, and this magnetic field deflects a lot of the harmful particles and radiation from the sun. If we didn't have the magnetic field, there would be no life on Earth. So, and what makes the magnetic field? It's the core of the Earth, which is a solid center, and then sort of a liquid core around it. When I say liquid, I mean it's very viscous, and the core moves very slowly, creating a huge dynamo, or like a motor. And this makes the Earth's magnetic field. Okay, so life needs energy, and we said the Earth has two sources, and only a partial radiation comes to the Earth. And Earth has an average surface temperature of about 60 degrees Fahrenheit. In contrast, the temperature of its neighbor Venus is about 900 degrees Fahrenheit. So we certainly couldn't live there, and very few life forms can survive at that temperature. And that of its other neighbor, Mars, is about minus 300 degrees Fahrenheit. So Venus is warmer because it's closer to the sun and blanketed by a thick insulating atmosphere. And Mars is colder because it's further from the sun and has almost no atmosphere. So we don't really have enough time today to talk about all the other factors that make the Earth habitable. But just remember that our sun is a dynamic planet because everything on the Earth is recycled. There's the rock cycle, the water cycle, and the carbon cycle. And maybe on a future program, we'll have time to talk about that. So we're going to sign off. And remember that our Earth is just perfect for life as we know it. But there may be life somewhere else that doesn't need these things. And maybe we'll find out someday. So I'm going to stop now. And I just told you a little bit about the history of the Earth and Earth Day. And we'll be back again in the future with another program, which will talk more about the dynamic Earth. So I'm going to sign off now. And this is Bernie Wides. And the sponsor has been, let's get the right one, Hearst Ranch. And this is the Heritage Radio Network. And I'm going to say goodbye for today.